Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good afternoon. Boy, what a way to start the month of May. Royals win a rubber game for the first time this year. Now, we just heard Matt Quatrero say, oh, I had no idea. Had no idea we were 0-4 in series deciders here in 2024. Now, sadly, I believe him. That's how in the moment, that's how present Matt Quatrero is. And that's the perfect shepherd for this 2024 group of Kansas City Royals. But you and I, we don't need to take it one day at a time, one pitch at a time. We can look ahead, we can look back, we can do whatever we want. And what I was doing coming into this game was hoping for a victory, hoping for another 500 road trip, hoping to win a series, to win a rubber game after dropping two against the Orioles, dropping one Sunday to Tarek Skubal and the Detroit Tigers, and then dropping the finale in New York against the Mets. It was nice to win a series on the road against someone other than the Chicago White Sox. Final score in front of more than 30,000 Blue Jays fans. Royals 6, Blue Jays 1. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Yeah, back-to-back road trips where the boys return home with a 500 record. A 3-3 road trip leads into a much-deserved day off tomorrow and then a six-game homestand, both against first-place teams. The first-place Texas Rangers come to town starting on Friday, and the first-place Brewers on Monday. Here's what I want to know from you, and there's so much to talk about right now. But if I can direct you in a certain way, here's what I want to know. Have they changed your plans yet? Has this Royals ball club infiltrated your routine? You know what I'm talking about. You remember the days back in 2013, 14, 15, 16, where the Royals did become that family member, where you knew who was going to be on the mound that night. You knew the normal construction of the lineup. You knew you had a rough idea of the upcoming schedule. You know, that day in, day out relationship that only baseball can provide. Where you take it in the backyard, in the garage, on those road trips, at your desk at work via the Odyssey app. Has this team changed your plans yet? Have they forced their way into the dinner table conversations with you and your loved ones? That's what I want to know. As we flip the calendar to May, and the Royals now present a record of 19-13, fourth best mark in the American League, and the best run differential in Major League Baseball. 32 games in, and your Kansas City Royals have a run differential of plus 50. Better than the Braves, better than the Dodgers, the Guardians, and everyone else. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Now, as far as the game today, the 6-1 Royals win as they take the series finale in Toronto. For as much as I want this show to be about Michael Massey, I would really love to dive into what Michael Massey has done over these past few games, this 5-game hitting streak he has going on. Massey driving in 4 of the 6 runs today, including the put-him-to-sleep shot, that 3-run bomb in the 8th inning. Massey with home runs now in back-to-back games. It looks like we might have a number 5 hitter. Sat around long enough waiting for Melendez and Velasquez and Renfro to lock it in. Michael Massey's only been back for, what, 10, 11 games? He looks like the protection that Salvador Perez needs now. Does he hold down that spot for the duration of the season? Who knows? It's nice to have the other options in MJ and Nelly and in Hunter Renfroe. But for now, Michael Massey looks like that five hitter, doesn't he? For as much as I would love this show to be about Michael Massey, come on. It's simple. It's what it's always about. Starting pitching and the artistry of Seth Lugo and how it just keeps going, keeps rolling this rotation train in Kansas City. Seth Lugo could do whatever he wanted today with the baseball, breaking off, what, seven different pitches according to StatCast? Throwing three or four different variations of the fastball, mixing speeds up and down, in and out. Again, I go back to what Adam Frazier said back in spring. Seth Lugo is an artist. But the train just rolls on. This starting pitching staff now has seen its ERA dwindle to 3.01. 32 games in, second best record in Major League Baseball. How about the defense of Bobby Witt Jr. and Hunter Renfroe? The speed of Bobby Witt to leg out that infield single in the eighth inning, which allowed Michael Massey's three-run home run. The train just keeps rolling. Pitching, defense, team speed. The most powerful weapons in the game of baseball. Not to mention the fact that you have two MVPs in the lineup in Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, and then everyone else playing their part right now. Kyle Isbell got it going in the sixth inning with a beautiful approach at the dish. Leading off the sixth inning, it's a scoreless game. Kyle Isbell falls behind in the count 0-2. Battles back to work the count full. And when Chris Bassitt tries to paint on the outside part of the plate with a sinking fastball, Izzy goes with it, shoots it to the opposite field. And a few batters later, Bobby Witt Jr. puts the boys up 1-0. Great execution by Michael Garcia to sacrifice Izzy to third. Bobby drives him in. Two batters later, Salvi drives in Bobby. Massey drives in Vinny. And it's 3-0 heading to the bottom of the sixth inning. Royals go on to win 6-1 and improve the record again to 19-13. They waited out Chris Bassitt and they pounced in that three-run sixth inning. Michael Massey, again, put him to bed with that three-run blast in the eighth. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Have they changed your plans yet? That's what I want to know. We'll start off with Danny in Kansas City. Danny, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead, buddy.
Vern, I'm a glutton for punishment myself, so the Royals have always been a part of my routine, even the last 5 or 6 years, but now I feel a little less shame about forcing my loved ones into paying attention and watching, and, you know, a lot of them are kind of waiting on the other shoe to drop, as in regression towards 500. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop with MJ Melendez and Nelly Velazquez and some of these guys that are underperforming. Despite the 19-13 start, I still think there's a little room to go here. The Central is not as good as it's been so far, in my opinion at least, other than the hometown ball club. And I'm starting to get some 14-15 vibes here. I know it's early, but shoot, there's some regression, positive regression heading our way. Love the pitching staff, and just looking forward to a summer of contention.
Love it. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate the phone call. You talk about the American League Central. Royals pitching staff as a whole right now has the fifth lowest ERA in baseball. That's bullpen starters combined. Fifth lowest ERA in baseball. Detroit's right above them. Detroit's fourth best. Cleveland's right below them. Cleveland's sixth best. If that continues, so long as that continues, the battle in this division will rage on. So I understand not being a believer in Cleveland without Shane Bieber, not being a believer in Detroit when you see Baez and Torkelson struggling the way that they are. I understand not buying in on those teams, but they're saying the exact same thing about you. Because what it comes down to is pitching, and right now those three teams are pitching very well. The Royals are defending better than the both of them and running the bases better than the both of them. So I understand why you feel best about the boys in blue, but I have, You have to respect what Cleveland has right now. That has been a pitching factory for almost a decade now. And as far as the positive regression, yeah, MJ Melendez, 0 for his last 25, 3 for his last 53. Yeah, he's going to snap out of that eventually. Sure. But you know what? Here's the thing. If this rotation maintains, if they remain one of the three best units in the sport, if the defense remains one of the three best units in the sport, then the team speed remains near the top of Major League Baseball. You can get by with a middle-of-the-road offense. It's happened before. You won a title doing it back in 2015. I mean, that offense didn't lock it in, really, until Ben Zobrist showed up. Now, 2014, that offense never locked it in until it mattered most in the postseason. You can get by with three holes in your lineup so long as the rotation, defense, and team speed is exceptional. And right now, it is. It doesn't hurt, again, to have two MVPs in the lineup in Bobby and Salvi. And, you know, between Mike Howell and Vinny, one of them is always cooking. Nice day for Vinny, 2 for 3 with a walk and 2 runs scored. Let's go to Patrick in Mission. Patrick, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just had a couple things. One was, I was curious. I know personally, I think I'd like to see Freddie behind the home plate a little bit more. Like that play earlier in the year when the guy slid into Salvi scared the hell out of me. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, I wanted to see if you thought there might be any minor league call-ups as far as prospects. I know we're not that deep down in the farm right now, but if we have any, like, upper echelon prospects that you see coming up, that's all I got, man.
Appreciate it, Patrick. Yeah, listen, we all get nervous when Salvi's banged up. I was nervous when he was hit by that pitch today in the fourth inning, kind of grazed his knuckles. Yeah, but I think we've learned over the past 12, 13 years that even if he does get a little banged up, he's going to come back stronger than ever. His defensive numbers are as good as ever, better than any of his Gold Glove years. So I'm enjoying Salvi behind the dish. You want more Freddie? Listen, I'm not going to fight you on Freddie. He's been hitting the ball very well himself. Freddie had a nice night last night, sitting 286 over his last 12 games. Yeah, I'm all for Freddie playing, but I also want to see Salvi's name in that lineup. So you're not going to run those two out there consistently together, or at least that's not the best idea. As far as who's going to get called up, is there a hotshot prospect? No, there really isn't. As far as the depth is concerned, the guy I'm most excited to see return is Will Klein. That 6'5 right-hander with a triple-digit fastball. You saw him just a few days ago. I'm excited to see him out of the bullpen. You know, Carlos Hernandez, you remember the big righty. He pitched earlier today in a rehab start, during his rehab assignment with Omaha. His first outing of a rehab assignment, and didn't go great. He recorded 2 outs, gave up 4 runs on 3 hits. He was sitting 96 to 99, had a pair of punch-outs and a walk. Needed 22 pitches, half of them found the strike zone. So Hernandez is going to need some time. Will Klein, Daniel Lynch is down there as well. Lynch pitched today, 4 innings of 1-run baseball. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Daniel Lynch at some point. You know, Daniel Lynch, we know, can go through a lineup once. Right, he's shown the ability and the stuff to go through a big league lineup once. Right, he can give you a good 2-3 innings. He could be a multiple inning reliever. But as far as a game-changing prospect, for the most part, they're all here. You know Nick Prado. You know Drew Waters. They're down in Omaha. They're a possibility to help out at some point. But the first name that comes to my mind would be Will Klein. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Dan in Kansas City. Dan, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. How's it going?
All right, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, so I wanted to answer your first question with, I mean, the Royals have fully re-entered themselves into my daily routine. I've got a similarity to Danny where I've been watching for the past few years, but it's been really easy to just turn the game off if something else comes up, whereas this year I am all in. I was even watching while I was on vacation a few weeks ago.
Nice.
Every pitch, man. This team's got me fully in it, and my wife's looking over my shoulder while I got the game on saying, man, they play baseball every day? I'm like, yep, they play baseball every day, man. last thing before I get out of here, there was a caller the other day who was dogging on Kyle Isbell, and I want to give that guy his flowers. I mean, Isbell in the nine hole has felt good to me this whole year, and just seeing him turn things around a little bit, and I mean, that beautiful glove out in center field. I just got to give my props to Isbell, man. So with that, I'll get out of here, Vern. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you doing that, Dan. Kyle Isbell deserves it. Isbell jump-started this whole thing today. That at-bat in the sixth inning, that leadoff double, everything changed after working a full count after falling behind 0-2. Great job by Kyle Isbell. He has 5 extra base hits in his last 9 games, and he scored 7 runs. Today, 1-for-4, and he scored the first run. Royals win 6-1. My game notes following win number 19 are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. The Royals win a series in Toronto for the first time since 2017. Let's go to Justin in OKC. Justin, what's happening, buddy?
Vern, what's happening, man? Hey, I'm calling from Oklahoma City, and I get a chance to listen to your show, and yeah, I'm bought into this team, man. I actually, I had to pay an extra $40 on my cable bill to get the Royals in Oklahoma City, so I'm definitely invested in this team. So, one thing I like about this team, am I there? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I'm just listening, listening.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm really impressed with our manager. You know, I mean, we haven't had a solid manager since Ned Yost, obviously. Mike Matheny came down and brought that St. Louis curse, whatever it was, Kansas City. But, it's really fun watching them, man. And, I'm looking forward to the summer. I know it's early May. I'm just glad. I hope they can continue to build and get better as the season goes on. No injuries. And I really think, I'll say one thing. I think Bobby Witt Jr. is a star in the making. And it's fun to have a player like that. It's been a long time since we had a player like that. And, of course, Salvi's the Hall of Famer, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. So, thank you, sir.
I'm with it, Justin. Thanks for the phone call. No doubt about it, Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the 10 best players on the planet. Another multi-hit game today. He has 13 multi-hit games. Nobody in the sport has more. Picked up base hit number 40 and 41. Only 5 players in the sport have more. And now with 70 total bases, there are only 4 players in the sport that have more. There's no doubt about it. Bobby Witt Jr. is an MVP candidate. Salvador Perez is an MVP candidate 1 month into the season. That's going to be tough for both to maintain. Probably a little bit easier for the 23-year-old, more so than the 33-year-old. Salvi 9 days away from his 34th birthday. Let's go to the Batman in Kansas City. Hello, Batman.
Man, Vern, you and me have been together for a long time when it comes. We started in the middle in that 2015, that first run. I started calling you then. And I don't normally have too much to say because I'm busy. But I'm telling you one thing. This team right here is definitely, I think it's got the potential, more potential than that team did that we were watching and that we got to see win everything. I think they got a shot at contending. They're not just going to go through the motions. Everybody is picking up on Salvi's karma that he's given out, and having Bobby Witt on the team doesn't hurt. I'm just telling you that I'll call in more, more often, Vern, but I'm telling you, I'm usually busy with crime
sure,
and fighting crime.
We're
and
all busy.
You know what I'm saying? But I have to stop and watch what this team is doing. You have been a mainstay. You've been stellar ever since, through the lousy times and through the good. We haven't had too many lousy, but this is a year for us to have a good year, and the fans should get out there, fill that stadium up and watch those balls fly out, because you know what, Vern? I like to catch it. I like souvenir baseball, especially home runs. And I love listening to your show. Thanks,
well,
buddy.
I appreciate it. Here's the thing. Appreciate the phone call, Batman. Thank you very much. Thanks for the support. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what type of turnout we get this weekend. I'm expecting big crowds. Honestly, Royals right now, one of only three franchises averaging fewer than 15,000 fans a game. Boys win today 6-1 in front of 32,000 in Toronto. All those disappointed Canadians. That's too bad. Now, here's the thing. The only way that I'll get with you that, to your point, Batman, of this group being better set up for success than that previous group that won two pennants and a world title, the only way I'll agree with you is Bobby and Salvi. The fact that Bobby Witt Jr. has already committed every day of his 20s to Kansas City. Now, the organization has that going for it. This ownership group, this front office has that going for it when they try to attract free agents in the coming years. That wasn't the case for the previous regime. They didn't have the Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. players that you want to come play with. Now, sure, there were some that saw the potential. Greinke saw the potential in Hosmer and Moose, but he wasn't willing to sit and wade through it all. Free agents weren't banging down the door to come play in Kansas City with Hosmer and Moose. They hadn't proven anything. They certainly weren't the caliber of star that Bobby and Salvi were. So I think having that cornerstone player, those superstar player, that's something that's, you know, the Royals haven't had since Carlos Beltran and George Brett before that. And you always knew Beltran was leaving. You haven't had a player like Bobby that you knew was staying since the great George Brett. 913-586-7610. We go to Michael in Kansas City. Michael, you're on 610 Sports Radio.
Hey,
go ahead.
Vern. Hey, Vern, how you doing today?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I like what I see in the standings. I don't like the Twins winning 10 in a row so much. But I really just had a question about what your thoughts are on MJ Melendez. I'm really high on MJ Melendez, but he's had kind of a rough start to the season this year. And even his best season, it's low average, high walks, kind of questionable defense, depending on where you put him. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on him and how long before he gets like a retool a la like Alex Gordon and Mike Moustakas, where he gets sent back down for a little while. Just want to know your thoughts.
Well, listen, it's I would think it would need to get a lot uglier before MJ Melendez gets that sort of treatment, because Gordo and Moose were lost. I don't know if MJ's lost. Now, he's struggling again, 0 for 25, 3 for his last 53. He started off gangbusters, though. He won three games for you in the first, 2 weeks of the season. So this hasn't been a full month grind for MJ. He's had great moments, successful, confident-building moments. And look at what happened last year to MJ. The first half of the season last year, he was miserable. He was also trying to learn a new position at the big league level. I don't think he really got a fair shake last year with how they did him. But he locked it in at the All-Star break, put up an 850 OPS in the second half of the season. So until he goes another half a season, struggling consistently, until that happens, I'm not going to look for nor reach for any panic button. Defensively, he's been fantastic. Defensively, he's been one of the five best left fielders in baseball. He's an athlete. And I said that throughout last season, that A, I thought they were doing him dirty by having him learn at the big league level. Now, he was fortunate to have the opportunity, of course, but that was a pretty tough spot to put him in. But I always thought he was an athlete and a guy that can catch and get drafted in the second round, that has that type of physicality in his swing, athleticism in his swing. I didn't think it would be all that difficult for him to eventually become a league average defender in left. I think he's better than league average. So I'm still confident in MJ. I like that he's now hitting down in the seventh spot. I like the fact that he and Nelson and Renfro are all struggling, and yet this team remains six games above 500 with the best run differential in the sport. That speaks to superb defense, an outstanding rotation and dynamic team speed. Royals win 6-1. We'll get back to your thoughts as the boys fly back to Kansas City. Get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the 1-2 pitch and a swing and a ground ball by the diving shortstop Bichette. Here comes Bobby to score. Vinny will have to stop at third base, but the Royals lead it 2-0 as Salvador Perez drives in his 27th run of the year with a hard hit ground ball through that drawn in infield.
Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Salvi's RBI knock with one out in the sixth inning put the Royals up 2-0. They would go on to win 6-1, taking the series in Toronto from the Blue Jays and winning a rubber game for the first time this season. Salvi's 27 RBI tops in the American League is, yes, Salvi right now is still the front runner for the American League batting title. Did you ever think you would hear that? Okay, he leads baseball in home runs with 48 a few years ago. That was wild. But if there's so, okay, no, we're not even going to, 130 games to go and a catcher is going to win the batting title. This isn't Joe Mauer. This is the free swing at Salvador Perez a few days away from his 34th birthday, hitting 355. Kidding me? Fourth best average in all of Major League Baseball, seventh highest OPS in Major League Baseball, and he's top 10 with 39 base hits. Remarkable. Speaking of Salvi, his manager on that championship team in 2015, Ned Yost. He'll join Fesco in the morning, tomorrow morning, 8:25, right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Let's go back to the phone calls out in Ottawa. Jarrett, you're on 610 Sports Radio. As the boys improved at 19-13, Jared, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thank you for taking my call, man. Isn't this fun?
Sir. Oh, my gosh, so much fun.
Man, and Salvi, this old man just keeps cranking it out like it is. Just, these kids can't hang with this old guy. And it's so fun to watch, man. And he's just can't stop him, can you? And no. The only thing that's going down is an injury. God forbid we don't need that. But
don't even talk.
Don't you have the same feel like at the end of the 13th season when you knew these guys were coming? You know, and this is it. These guys are coming. Don't you feel it? I mean, they keep that line moving, and there's a lot of similarities, but this team is stronger in the 13th, 14th, 15th team's weaknesses. Don't you think they're a little different opposite-wise? Is their strength as far as starting pitching and bullpen, and, well, Salvi's a constant, but what do you think of that? How do you compare this 2014 to the 13 team?
Right, right. Appreciate the phone call, Jarrett. This to me doesn't feel similar to 2014 in that in 2013, that team played meaningful games in August. None of these guys... You know, as far as the Royals' homegrown dudes, none of them outside of Salvi have played in a meaningful game in August. 2013, they finished with a winning record, right? 86 wins? Royals won 56 last year? No, there are still countless tests that lie ahead. As was the case in 2014, there are always tests over the course of 162. But if we're going to compare, the comparisons are, you know, what I was asking for last year. Now, last year, my concern was a similar concern that I had in 2012. You know, maybe that's the comparison. You know, last year I would always say, Please don't allow Bobby and MJ and Vinny and Mike Hell to become losers. Don't allow them to get into the mindset of, well, you know, it's the Royals. You don't win in Kansas City. No one wins in Kansas City. You put your time in and you get the hell out of there. It's the same thing I was saying in 2012. I was worried that Moose and Haas and Gordo and Kane were going to become losers. You had to go get some pitching to support these guys so they could show up to the ballpark thinking, okay, we do indeed have a chance to win because we have that guy on the hill. And the front office went out and re-signed Jeremy Guthrie and brought in Irvin Santana and traded for James Shields and Wade Davis. And Moose and Haas and Kane and Eske, no, they never became losers. They became champions. And now, this year, the front office and ownership goes out and they bring in a whole new bullpen. Waka, Lugo. They give Lugo a 3-year deal, promising him $15 million per year. At the age of 34. But as I said earlier today, to me, Seth Lugo has a real Jeremy Guthrie without the mileage feel. Respectfully to Jeremy, who was an outstanding pitcher for the Royals. But he had almost twice as many innings already logged when he was 34 as opposed to Seth Lugo. Yeah, Lugo coming into this season didn't even have 650 innings under his belt. So sure, he's 34. He has all the guile and all the knowledge and all the tricks of a 10-year vet without the mileage on that right arm, thankfully. Lugo, in 7 starts this season, has 6 quality starts. He's 5-1. He's gone 7 innings in 3 of those 7 starts. And his ERA sits at 1.6, 6th best in Major League Baseball. Nobody has thrown more innings than Seth Lugo, who has spun 45 frames of 1.6 ERA baseball. So the comparison right now is between this team and the 2013 team, or the offseason after 2012 with this previous offseason. But for those that are concerned about the offense, go ahead and look at that 2014 offense. I mean, you'll listen. The Royals offense right now through 32 games has an OPS of 690, 17th in Major League Baseball. So middle of the road, right? In 2014, that offense had an OPS of 690. 17th best in Major League Baseball. Currently, the Royals have a, if you want to get nerdy and really judge what an offense is, adjusted weighted runs created. Royals currently ranked 21st in Major League Baseball. In 2014, they ranked 21st in Major League Baseball. 2014 had a dominant bullpen. So far, 2024 has a dominant rotation. Both have great defenses. Both have elite speed. Both have middle of the road or slightly below league average offenses. The one thing this team doesn't have that they had in 2014 was experience post All-Star break. Real big league pressure post All-Star break. Jared, appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. It's also the text line number. We go to Steve and Merriam. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 6-1 the final.
Hey, thanks for getting me in.
You know, yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling.
I want to touch on a couple things I've heard, and then I want to turn my attention to pitching. You know, regarding Salvi, I'll use one of your comments. Who knows where the season will go, but just enjoy every minute of it while it's going on. What an honor to watch him play.
No doubt.
Another thing, you know, we'll call it a little monkey on the back, but nice to see him win the rubber game and, you know, and get that out of the way. There's getting a little, all right, when are they going to win a rubber game? So nice to get that done. Yeah. Somebody talked about Melendez. Hard to say, you know, maybe he's the summer guy, and, you know, some people just do not play well until the weather heats up a little bit. You know, we had some nice weather and those early starts, and then what? Detroit, Toronto, Baltimore, Kansas awesome. City. You know, we've had some pretty rough weather, and it's hard. For some people, that's just hard. And sure. Kind of another thing I wanted to touch on. I think this weekend will be a much better litmus test on the crowd participation. You know, the last homestand, again, we had some pretty nasty weather. You know, I had thought I was going to take a grandson out there, but it was just a bad day. So hopefully
right. A
little better test here. Anyhow, yeah, I did want to talk a little bit, if we could, on the pitching. You know, I grew up kind of blessed learning the game back in the 60s and early 70s, and I was back east, so I was a Mets fan, and I got to enjoy watching Seaver and Kuzman and Ryan and Matlack. Great reliever named Tug McGraw in the American League. Baltimore wasn't that far away, and I think one year.
So, what do you make of this pitching staff then? What do you think of these guys, Steve? Where do they stack up?
I guess here's the best way I want to put it. I want to get back to that Cole Reagan's loss, you know, when he got hammered for 7 runs, and that's a funny word to use, because I think maybe one ball was hit hard. My experience of being able to watch great pitchers and great pitching staffs, you know, like Cole Reagan's was probably 2 to 3 percentage points of efficiency between the last game that he pitched stellar and the game that he gave up 7 runs. He honestly wasn't pitching that different. And when you can put four starters in there, and you know, pretty much every day they're going to have that sort of a potential performance. You know, they're very seldom are they going to have a real bad game most of the time.
Well, here's the number, Steve. No, Steve, thanks for the phone call. I have the numbers right here. I mean, we're 32 games into the season, and this rotation has given you a chance to win, in my opinion, 30 of those 32. I came into this season expecting them to give you a chance to win 70 to 80% of the games. And when I would verbalize that, it would sound silly. I thought they would bring stability. I thought that when you have that type of consistency, or at least track record of a Waka, a Lugo, a Singer, and the upside of a Cole Reagans, that more times than not, 60, 70, 80% of the time, you flip the game on in the 5th, 6th, or 7th inning, and it's going to be close because the pitcher gave you a chance to win. That was something that's, 20% of the time last year it happened? I mean, it's happening at a 96% clip so far through the first month. Eventually, that's going to begin to slightly regress, but here's the thing is, even had they lost today, because I'm with you, I wanted them to get the rubber game, I wanted them to get that little monkey off the back. Even if they lose this game today, it's Brady Singer, and then Michael Wacha, and then Cole Reagans is waiting in the wings. Then you have Seth Lugo going again. Lugo, who has put up a quality start in 23 of his last 33 outings. And you're right about it being a pleasure watching Salvador Perez. Salvi extends his career best on base streak to 21 games. Salvi's reached base safely in 27 of the team's 30 games that he's participated in. Royals win 6-1. A pitching staff like this allows you to be the bully. Going back to the previous caller and the comparisons with 2014, 2015, that bullpen bullied you. Other teams went into the game knowing if we fall behind early, the clock immediately starts ticking. Right, Royals push a run across in the second inning. That other team knows we have 4 innings to tie it up or take the lead or else it's over because that bullpen's going to come in and shut us out. Having a rotation like this allows you to bully the opposition because you get out of your game plan. You're thinking, all right, we got to get this guy out of the game. Maybe we're not playing the team game offensively that we need to. We're trying to win the game with one swing because we know how difficult it is to string together base hits against Reagans, against Lugo, against Singer, so you start getting big. You start forgetting your fundamentals. You start swinging for the fences. You come into the game, the opposing starting pitcher knows, hey, I got to match what Reagan's is doing, what Singer's doing, what Lugo's doing. And again, Lugo's been out of this world. 17 strikeouts in his last two starts total. 17 strikeouts in 14 innings. He's allowed one run on five hits in his last two starts combined. He's been outstanding. Let's go to Wyatt in Kansas City. Wyatt, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 6-1. Go ahead.
Hey, so going back to that talk about, you know, the differences between this team and the 14 team, one plus side for this current team is that team did not have a Bobby Witt Jr. Probably a better lineup, you know, 1 through 9 than we have now, of course. And Kane and Haas and Moose, they're all really good. But Bobby Witt is a solid superstar that probably a top 10 player that we did not have in that run.
No question. No doubt about it, Wyatt. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, we could go position by position. I don't think in 2014, I don't think there's a better hitter than Vinny Pasquantino. Now, Billy Butler can make a pretty good case, I guess. But I don't think Bobby was drawing walks the way that Vinny was. Vinny drew his 17th walk today. 7th most in the American League. 17 walks to just 12 strikeouts. And yeah, both Drew and myself made you a bunch of money earlier today, again, on the On Deck Show. That's now 4 straight games where I've more than doubled your money on the On Deck Show. You're missing out. We are handing out loot on the double play each and every game day, 1 hour before first pitch, which Friday will happen beginning at 5:30. Your chance to win Royals tickets and the hookup for that night's betting market. Friday night, Royals-Rangers open up a 3-game series as Brady Singer squares off with Michael Lorenzen. Wyatt, thanks for the phone call. We'll take a dive into that text line after this quick timeout.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Breaking ball hit high in the air down the right field line. If it stays fair, it's gone. This ball is fair. Home run, Michael Massey. A 3-run shot off the foul netting. He sends it straight down the right field line and doubles the Royals' output.
6-1 following that 3-run blast from Michael Massey. 6-1, the final score. Royals take the series in Toronto, winning a rubber game for the first time this year. The record is now 19-13. Royals 5-2 this year against the Blue Jays. That's the most wins against Toronto since 1998. Nice job. 6-1, the final score. Text line is there for you, 913-586-7610. Michael Massey with that bomb, and Jake Eisenberg on the call. His second home run in as many nights. This one coming with 2 outs in the 8th inning. The inning started with a 1-out infield single from Bobby Witt Jr. and then Vinny Pasquantino. Singles to center, and it's 2 on with 1 out. And after a fly out from Salvador Perez, Michael Massey works a 2-2 count and then hooks a curveball from Nate Pearson off the foul pole thing down the right field line. And I mean, he hooked it. He got under that bad boy, just made it 357 feet over the right field wall. That at bat was very impressive from Michael Massey. This stretch has been very impressive from Michael Massey, a 5-game hitting streak, but Drew Pearson, Nate Pearson, isn't Drew Pearson the guy that, anyway, Nate Pearson coming out of the Blue Jays bullpen. Here's the pitch sequence to Massey before that home run. 97 mile per hour fastball, 98, 99, 100, 2-2. What are you sitting if you're Michael Massey? You've seen 97, 98, 99, and 100. You're sitting off speed? I'm not even going to say that Massey was sitting off speed. Are you able to stay back and hook a curveball down the right field line. Very impressive AB from the Royals second baseman. Royals win 6-1. And what I wanted to know from you is, has this team changed your plans? We're 1 month in. Attendance would say no, right? Less than 15,000 showing up on average. Only Miami and Oakland doing worse. And yet, with a record that ranks fourth best in the American League, I would have to imagine they've infiltrated some of your routines. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. Ryan from Pleasant Hill. Vern, I don't think it's changed my plans yet, but I am checking scores. I am checking the standings a little bit more often. Now, if they're in it still at the end of May, I will answer yes, but I need to see it first, signed Ryan in Pleasant Hill. Yeah, okay, that's kind of what I was expecting to hear. From the 816, Vern, we just bought fountain passes. We're going every day. Stadium better be full on Friday. From the 816, somehow we'll still be underdogs, according to Vegas, come Friday. Yeah, Royals have been the underdog in 10 straight games. They're now 13-10 this season as the underdog. From the 816, Vern, I bought the Sunday fountain pass this afternoon. Okay, so they're making a few of you change your plan. Carolyn Lee Summit said, I just bought tickets to Friday's game. Although I must admit I'm a bit angry about the whole Bally's Xfinity snafu. Yeah, me too. Just heard my wife yelling about that. Apparently we don't have the Royals game anymore. All right, well, that's all right. We'll get the app. Do what you got to do to stay locked into the boys in blue here in 2024. Text line 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, how many games have the Royals given up a run in the first inning? I think that's an underrated stat. They have given up a run in the first inning 5 times in the first 32 games. I don't know where that ranks, but that sounds like it's pretty good. It seems as if they were giving up a run in the first inning 2 or 3 times a week a season ago. But then again, they lost 106 games a season ago. From the 316, Vern, I'm 56 years old. I've been listening to the Royals my whole life. This rotation, so far, is the best rotation the Royals have ever fielded. Better than the 1985 World Championship rotation, which I had number one. Okay, well, you're a little bit older than I am, so I'll take your word for it. Saberhagen did win the Cy Young Award that season. You know, I guess we could be having a conversation like previous caller brought up. Now, was the lineup in 2014 deeper than this one? Yeah, for sure. But no, they didn't have anybody like Bobby Witt Jr. So maybe you make that case. This rotation's better, but you don't have a Cy Young Award winner like Brett Saberhagen. 913-586-7610 from the 785. Vern, I'm curious, when did they win their 19th game last year? That would be June 17th. It is May 1st. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, hi. Yeah, it was a great win today by the Royals, Matthew, with the great performance and Sally pitching in too, and the RBIs by Bobby got the RBI. And how about Lugo's 8 strikeouts and one that frustrates Guerrero when he, going in frustrated? I'll tell you, there's a lot of things
that are frustrating Guerrero right now. Not only staring at that slider against Seth Lugo in the 6th inning, but he was pouting last night as he was punching out in a big spot against Cole Reagans. That Blue Jays lineup is going through it right now. Vladdy, George Springer. If it wasn't for Justin Turner, I think this team might be cooked in the American League East. Well, if it wasn't for Justin Turner in that rotation, of course.
Oh, yeah, and Derry Jensen, too, hitting, you know. But, yeah, we did a good job at Kaufman Stame holding him down, too. So I think it's going to be great to see, you know, with Bieber out. I don't know how long the Guardians can keep going. They'll be going down
soon.
Dan,
let me say this. Dan, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I'll say this about the Guardians. Listen, I've been saying it for weeks now. How much longer then can they keep this up without Shane Bieber? Not to mention that Gavin Williams has been banged up. That's a rookie righty from a season ago that I thought showed a lot at the big league level. And they've withstood injuries to both, a season-ending injury to Shane Bieber. I don't know if there's an organization in the sport that does a better job of drafting and developing pitching. You know, that was often something that many of you would crush the Royals for. Vern, fire everybody. They don't know how to draft and develop pitching. And my response was normally, yeah, no one knows how to draft and develop pitching. No one knows how to keep them healthy, let alone draft and develop them. Outside of Cleveland, Tampa, and I guess the Dodgers, maybe Milwaukee, you know, it's less than five teams that draft and develop well. Speaking of, I haven't really heard that complaint lately. You know? I know Brady Singer's a first-round pick. Alec Marsh is a second-round pick. But these guys were here last year, and that's all we did was complain about the pitching, and, oh, man, they don't know how to draft and develop. Well, Bubich is hurt. Lynch is down in AAA with a high ERA. Now, drafting and developing pitching is very difficult. Signing free agent pitching is very difficult. I mean, look at some of the other names that the Royals entertained this offseason. Could you imagine if they broke off Lucas Giolito for a big-time contract and then he blows out in spring training? Could you fathom what you would be saying about this front office right now? Instead, they pieced together a rotation that has logged the third most innings in the sport. And has a guy in Seth Lugo that has one of the 10 best ERAs in the sport. From the 913, Vern, I love this team, but it's hard for me to overlook the fact that outside of Bobby and Salvi, we got a bunch of guys hitting 230. Yeah, again, it's not a perfect team, okay? If you didn't have guys hitting below 230, this would be a perfect team. For the most part, right? Four starters that you believe give you the advantage every time they take the ball, right? Lugo, Reagans, Waka, Singer. You'll stack those four up against anybody, right? In baseball? Back end of your bullpen with Schneider and MacArthur, an eighth, ninth inning guy. You're comfortable with them. You'll stack them up against anybody, right? Team speed. Well, the stats say it all. Some of the best in the sport. Defensively, stats say it all. Some of the best in the sport. So yeah, a few bats are struggling, no doubt about it. I don't need a perfect team. I need you to maintain through May. And boy, they are backstroking right now in the deep end, making this look easy. Speaking of making it look easy. Dusty Likens, After Hours, talking some draft, talking some Royals. It's coming your way next on 610 Sports Radio. I'll talk to you Friday from Kauffman. Take care.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South. And in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Breaking ball hit high in the air down the right field line. If it stays fair, it's gone. This ball is fair. Home run, Michael Massey. A three-run shot off the foul netting. He sends it straight down the right field line and doubles the Royals' output.
6-1 following that three-run blast from Michael Massey. 6-1, the final score. Royals take the series in Toronto, winning a rubber game for the first time this year. The record is now 19-13. Royals 5-2 this year against the Blue Jays. That's the most wins against Toronto since 1998. Nice job. 6-1, the final score. Text line is there for you, 913-586-7610. Michael Massey with that bomb, and Jake Eisenberg on the call. His second home run in as many nights. This one coming with two outs in the eighth inning. The inning started with a one-out infield single from Bobby Witt Jr. and then Vinny Pasquantino. Singles to center, and it's two on with one out. And after a flyout from Salvador Perez, Michael Massey works a 2-2 count and then hooks a curveball from Nate Pearson off the foul pole thing down the right field line. And I mean, he hooked it. He got under that bad boy, just made it 357 feet over the right field wall. That at-bat was very impressive from Michael Massey. This stretch has been very impressive from Michael Massey, a five-game hitting streak, but Drew Pearson, Nate Pearson, isn't Drew Pearson the guy that, anyway, Nate Pearson coming out of the Blue Jays bullpen. Here's the pitch sequence to Massey before that home run. 97 mile per hour fastball, 98, 99, 100, 2-2. What are you sitting if you're Michael Massey? You've seen 97, 98, 99, and 100. You're sitting off speed? I'm not even going to say that Massey was sitting off speed. Are you able to stay back and hook a curveball down the right field line? Very impressive AB from the Royals second baseman. Royals win 6-1. And what I wanted to know from you is, has this team changed your plans? We're 1 month in. Attendance would say no, right? Less than 15,000 showing up on average. Only Miami and Oakland doing worse. And yet, with a record that ranks fourth best in the American League, I would have to imagine they've infiltrated some of your routines. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. Ryan from Pleasant Hill. Vern, I don't think it's changed my plans yet, but I am checking scores. I am checking the standings a little bit more often. Now, if they're in it still at the end of May, I will answer yes, but I need to see it first. Signed, Ryan in Pleasant Hill. Yeah, okay, that's kind of what I was expecting to hear. From the 816, Vern, we just bought fountain passes. We're going every day. Stadium better be full on Friday. From the 816, somehow we'll still be underdogs, according to Vegas, come Friday. Yeah, Royals have been the underdog in 10 straight games. They're now 13-10 this season as the underdog. From the 816, Vern, I bought the Sunday fountain pass this afternoon. Okay, so they're making a few of you change your plan. Carolyn Lee Summit said, I just bought tickets to Friday's game. Although I must admit I'm a bit angry about the whole Bally's Xfinity snafu. Yeah, me too. Just heard my wife yelling about that. Apparently we don't have the Royals game anymore. All right, well, that's all right. We'll get the app. Do what you got to do to stay locked into the boys in blue here in 2024. Text line 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, how many games have the Royals given up a run in the first inning? I think that's an underrated stat. They have given up a run in the first inning five times in the first 32 games. I don't know where that ranks, but that sounds like it's pretty good. It seems as if they were giving up a run in the first inning two or three times a week a season ago. But then again, they lost 106 games a season ago. From the 316, Vern, I'm 56 years old. I've been listening to the Royals my whole life. This rotation,
so far is the best rotation the Royals have ever fielded. Better than the 1985 World Championship rotation, which I had number one. Mm. Okay, well, you're a little bit older than I am, so I'll take your word for it. Saberhagen did win the Cy Young Award that season. You know, I guess we could be having a conversation like previous caller brought up. Now, was the lineup in 2014 deeper than this one? Yeah, for sure. But no, they didn't have anybody like Bobby Witt Jr. So maybe you make that case. This rotation's better, but you don't have a Cy Young Award winner like Brett Saberhagen. 913-586-7610 from the 785. Vern, I'm curious, when did they win their 19th game last year? That would be June 17th. It is May 1st. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, hi. Yeah, it was a great win today by the Royals. Matthew with a great performance and Sally pitching in too, and the RBIs by Bobby got the RBI. And how about Lugo's 8 strikeouts and one that frustrates Guerrero when he's going in frustrated. I tell you, there's a lot of things
that are frustrating Guerrero right now. Not only staring at that slider against Seth Lugo in the 6th inning, but he was pouting last night as he was punching out in a big spot against Cole Reagans. That Blue Jays lineup is going through it right now. Vladdy, George Springer. If it wasn't for Justin Turner, I think this team might be cooked in the American League East. Well, if it wasn't for Justin Turner in that rotation, of course.
Oh, yeah, and Gary Jansen, too, hitting, you know. But, yeah, we did a good job at Kaufman's fame holding him down, too. So I think it's going to be great to see, you know, with Bieber out. I don't know how long the Guardians can keep going. They'll be going down soon.
Dan, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I'll say this about the Guardians. Listen, I've been saying it for weeks now. How much longer can they keep this up without Shane Bieber? Not to mention that Gavin Williams has been banged up. That's a rookie righty from a season ago that I thought showed a lot at the big league level. And they've withstood injuries to both, a season-ending injury to Shane Bieber. I don't know if there's an organization in the sport that does a better job of drafting and developing pitching. You know, that was often something that many of you would crush the Royals for. Vern, fire everybody. They don't know how to draft and develop pitching. And my response was normally, yeah, no one knows how to draft and develop pitching. No one knows how to keep them healthy, let alone draft and develop them. Outside of Cleveland, Tampa, and I guess the Dodgers, maybe Milwaukee, it's less than 5 teams that draft and develop well. Speaking of, I haven't really heard that complaint lately. You know? I know Brady Singer's a first-round pick. Alec Marsh is a second-round pick. But these guys were here last year, and that's all we did was complain about the pitching. And, oh, man, they don't know how to draft and develop. Well, Bubich is hurt. Lynch is down in AAA with a high ERA. Now, drafting and developing pitching is very difficult. Signing free agent pitching is very difficult. I mean, look at some of the other names that the Royals entertained this offseason. Could you imagine if they broke off Lucas Giolito for a big-time contract and then he blows out in spring training? Could you fathom what you would be saying about this front office right now? Instead, they pieced together a rotation that has logged the 3rd most innings in the sport. And has a guy in Seth Lugo that has one of the 10 best ERAs in the sport. From the 913, Vern, I love this team, but it's hard for me to overlook the fact that outside of Bobby and Salvi, we got a bunch of guys hitting 230. Yeah, again, it's not a perfect team, okay? If you didn't have guys hitting below 230, this would be a perfect team. For the most part, right? 4 starters that you believe give you the advantage every time they take the ball, right? Lugo, Reagans, Waka, Singer. You'll stack those 4 up against anybody, right? In baseball? back end of your bullpen with Schneider and MacArthur, an eighth, ninth inning guy? You're comfortable with them? You'll stack them up against anybody, right? Team speed? Well, the stats say it all. Some of the best in the sport. Defensively, stats say it all. Some of the best in the sport. So yeah, a few bats are struggling, no doubt about it. I don't need a perfect team. I need you to maintain through May. And boy, they are backstroking right now in the deep end, making this look easy. Speaking of making it look easy, Dusty Likens, After Hours, talking some draft, talking some Royals. It's coming your way next on 610 Sports Radio. I'll talk to you Friday from Kaufman. Take care.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.